Now it's time to say good morning to Unetse, where we talk nutrition as we do on Thursdays. Unetse, good morning. Welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
And Unetse, today we're talking about something slightly different, and we're talking about an event that's coming up that you are actually a speaker of. And we'll talk about the event itself in a moment, but a little bit of a preview possibly on what you're going to be talking about.
Yes, so indeed a very exciting event that will happen, and I will elaborate on that a little bit later. So it's really, the focus really is on empowering whether you are a caregiver or a mother or a grandmother. So it's round about there. And then I thought when it comes to nutrition, obviously if you are the caregiver or the mother or the grandmother, you would be looking after either somebody else's child or your own child or your own family. And how would you sort of integrate all of that and like little bits and pieces just to put to make it easy for those people to feed their families properly. So obviously if we look at the ages between 0 to 6 months, we all know that breastfeeding is obviously number one. Uh-huh. And if you are lucky enough to get it right, then definitely do it. So the secret really is in that first 30 minutes after birth, that's really where you want to start breastfeeding, because uh-huh. that's your biggest window of opportunity actually with the connection between the mother and child. And actually a lot of the success of breastfeeding is actually within that first 30 minutes. So we don't really want to miss that opportunity. Sure. But I mean, sometimes life happens and you know, you are maybe not that fortunate. It's not to say that it's not impossible, but that's really where it will be the easiest. And we generally, if we look at breastfeeding, we want to do from 0 to 2, from birth to 2 years if you can. Mm-hmm. And because it's only really after 2 years that we want to introduce something like cow's milk into a child's life. And it's just because of how the gut development works through ages and your ability to basically metabolize protein and your renal function. So that's sort of why we push it to the age of 2. Mm-hmm. And then if you are the mother that wasn't successful, it's not a train smash. There's many formulas on the market these days. We are very fortunate that there's literally something for every single child out there. So there is an answer. So then obviously you can ask somebody at the clinic, or you can ask a dietitian, or you can ask your pediatrician, whoever you take sort of advice from, to help you with this. Mm-hmm. And then from the ages of 4 to 6 months, we sort of want to move towards introducing solid foods for a child. And where we generally start is your non-wheat cereals. So you'll see the cereals that you buy on the shelf, basically. It will either be maize related or maybe rice related. So we try to keep allergens also away a little bit until the age of 2. And I think the secret with starting with solid foods is really starting with one thing at a time. Because if there's an allergy somewhere, we can actually pick it up. So we will know exactly which food substance it was. But if we start with a mix of stuff, then it makes it a little bit more difficult. And also the other thing is, because now your child needs to learn about texture, they need to learn about some other taste. And, you know, I always think people said, oh, but so if you pass the rice and the maize cereal and you start with vegetables, people would say, oh, but my child doesn't like pumpkin. But the problem is your child doesn't even taste the pumpkin. So it's not like your child does not like pumpkin. It's foreign. So the taste is foreign, the texture is foreign. So I always advise people to, you know, start with one vegetable at a time, and start with vegetables first and boil them out of water so that your child can get used to that specific vegetable as it is in its natural way, without adding salt, without adding sugar. so that we can, your child can actually get to know that vegetable. Mm-hmm. And if you started with butternut, for instance, carry on with butternut until you see your child is happy to eat butternut. Mm-hmm. And then you start the second vegetable. And that's really how we go through all the vegetables. Mm-hmm. And then you do the same thing and you start with fruit. So that's basically how you will introduce solids.
And just something that I remember from a previous chat, sort of when we were talking about similar things, is that you actually specifically mentioned that you must do the vegetables first before fruits because of the fruits maybe being a more pleasant tasting food.
Yes, they are naturally sweet.
Yes, so you want to kind of get all the boring things out the way first. Yeah. and get baby used to those and get to know the veggies before you go to, let's say, the desserts.
Yes,
and which
yes.
would be the fruits, you know, all the nice yes. things.
And then when you've done all of this, then generally you can start mixing it together. And with protein, we generally start at the age of around about 8 months, 9 months. You can start introducing some, for instance, like very fine chicken or something mm-hmm. like that. Some people like to keep fish a little bit for later. So like fish and egg and milk sometimes because it's part of the allergens. We keep it maybe till post 2 years, but with all of that said, each for its own in terms of the choices. But that's basically how we would, and at the age of one, you would sort of want your child to eat more food, uh-huh. drink less milk. So we look at about 600 milliliters of milk then, whether it's formula, whether it's breast milk that you've extracted, whether it's, it doesn't really matter, but you want to move over to eating more and drinking less. Because sometimes people will also say, oh, but my child doesn't want to eat. Mm-hmm. But what we have to remember is how much milk that your child actually drink. So isn't he satisfied and full of the milk that he had? So that he's not hungry. So that's why he would not want to eat. So it's a very fine line between food and milk. But luckily, there's people that can help you if you get stuck somewhere along the line.
Okay, and then as the baby gets bigger, then obviously you start introducing other types of foods.
Yeah, so basically at the age of two, your child should eat like the family.
Okay.
So, you know, that the mom can cook one lot of food basically for the whole family and everybody can eat of it in some other way.
And that would obviously, apart from a convenience factor, it would be something that you should actually strive for because then your little one is now integrated and part of the family, sitting at the table possibly and sharing whatever the family eats.
Yes, because if you think about working moms, you don't really have time to make two separate lots of food every single day of your life. So at that point in time, if you can integrate the two, it would really be amazing. You will save a lot of time. Yeah, so then also because of the fact that you then obviously, so if we look at cooking methods, then like I've always mentioned, you want to bake, boil, steam, air fry, dry fry. We really don't want to get into the habit of deep frying food, adding margarine or fat or something like that to food. Obviously, things like spices is no problem, like salt, pepper, any other herbs, even some other light salad dressings. But we want to keep fat as almost as an extra that we can make a plate or a sandwich interesting with. So, for instance, if we look at the good fats out there, whether it is maybe a little bit of fresh olive oil or some avocado pear or olives or peanut butter, add it to a sandwich instead of mixing it at the bottom of the pot, you will actually not have the benefit of it at all. Whereas you can really do something creative with it on your plate.
Okay.
And obviously, if you are the mom that raised a young child, by installing good habits by these cooking methods and what we buy, we actually then get it right to help somebody in adulthood to actually eat
correctly.
Correctly, yes, yes. So then the focus goes really to how to prepare your food, what should the plate look like, how do you utilize what you actually made for tonight, for tomorrow, in terms of lunch boxes. So you can actually, by preparing food in the evening, you can actually, if you think about your day of tomorrow, I always say try and cook enough, maybe some meat, make some extra salad so that you can just put leftovers in lunch boxes while you clean up the kitchen. And that's basically, then you have sorted for tomorrow. Then you won't really get into picking up a hungry child from school, maybe not having a snack there. And that prevents you from buying the takeaway, which you didn't really want to buy in the very beginning, but just because your child is so hungry, unfortunately,
that's the easiest
to sort of do it. It's the easiest way, because otherwise you have the grumpy child that you cannot do homework with again. So, it's really, it helps with all of that. And then if we just look at good choices that you want to do. So if you buy, if we look at whole wheat, if we look at starches, we want to do the whole wheat thing. So rather maybe try and make oats, high fiber bran, maybe even some Weet-Bix is not the end of the world. Try and make like ProVita biscuits, RyeVita biscuits, whole wheat bread, potato in a jacket, maybe some sweet potato, some brown rice, some durum wheat pasta. Those are the things that you want to include as starches when you buy them. And then for protein, we always want to go as lean as possible. So go for the extra lean beef mince. Try to remove the skin from the chicken. People always roll their eyes at me when I say that.
What a waste, they're probably saying. What a waste, Unetsi.
If I say cut off that fat from the meat, they're like, what, are you being serious? But unfortunately, if longevity is your mission, we have to do it.
Then, one or the other. You either live long one or you or live fat.
Yes, that's basically, that's unfortunately the honest truth. There is always, if I think about, cold meats, which is generally full of preservatives and we don't necessarily always want to buy, but occasionally if you buy the lean ones, they are really like your cooked hams, your smoked chicken, they are lean. Obviously you will have the preservatives and the salt, but they are options if you don't have anything else, as well as fish from a tin and maybe the good old sardine, whether it's like in tomato sauce or just in a brine. A very powerful little fish to eat, lots of calcium, lots of omega-3. So if you are the one that loves poached on toast, not a bad idea for breakfast or lunch. Your colleagues at work might not really like it too much,
yes.
That's sort of what we want to focus on. And then dairy, any low fat types of dairy, milk, and even flavored milks. When it comes to yogurt, I sometimes rather ask people to buy fat-free yogurt, not necessarily about the fat content, but about the sugar content that is in there. So the carbohydrate amount can go rather high and the energy amount can rather go high because of the amount of extra sugar that they will put into the yogurt to obviously give it a good flavor.
Right. So you want the basic yogurt as it gets made.
Yes. So a good guide is if you look at the energy per 100 mils, you will see that even the low-fat ones vary between 280, 350, 420 to 530. Uh-huh. And sometimes it's only the amount of sugar that's been added. The protein will be the same, the fat will be the same, but the change in the energy will come from the glucose that they've added into it. So, but the fat-free options, obviously they sort of complement them with artificial sweeteners because they want to keep the energy down.
Right.
So that's also why I sometimes tell people to go like for the fat-free flavored yogurt. Okay. Obviously, if it's a plain low-fat yogurt, it doesn't really matter and you want to add fresh fruit, no problem. It's just the flavored ones. And then lastly, what I'll say is if you if we look at sugar, like I've mentioned, we want to obviously get away from the habit of snacking on sweets, maybe use fresh fruits or dried fruits, like the fruit in its normal state. And then also, if you can, don't really add sugar to your coffee and your tea. Rather drink water. Stay away from cool drinks with a lot of sugar in them, because obviously we don't want that excess insulin in our that's been released. Because it's an anabolic hormone, and unfortunately, it doesn't do our body good. If we do these little things, we can actually prevent the amount of insulin being released in our body so that we can keep our glucose on a normal level, like between five and seven, and not make your body work so hard to really keep it within those ranges.
Right. So once again there, you know, and that obviously would be even more important for somebody who is, for instance, diabetic or more specifically needing to watch their diet.
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And yes. Annette, in all of this, if you, for our listeners, Mom's Moments, or a very interesting graphic, but we'll call it Mom Moments, is an event happening on Saturday that you are actually one of the guest speakers at.
Yes, so this is really like a event that's been created to empower women out there with knowledge. Uh-huh. So we've got a lot of powerful speakers. There will be gynecologists, pediatric surgeons, as well as pediatricians. There will be also a dermal aesthetic person, uh-huh, as well as occupational therapy, physiotherapy, speech and audiology, a clinical psychologist. So really people going to speak about what caregivers and mothers battle with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So just sharing some knowledge and empowering women out there. And it's sort of a full day event. People can buy tickets at Quicket. It's 165 Rand. There will be lunch served, a lot of fun, really a fun event. So if you don't know what to do on Saturday morning, maybe take your friend or your neighbor and come and join us for the morning. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you can buy your tickets today, I think by tomorrow lunchtime. And so you'll be contacted privately for your lunch order and by the organizers. So very exciting things happening.
Okay. And do you have contact details, or shall we just give your contact details and somebody can reach you and you can pass them on?
Yes, you can give my contact details. I will definitely send the information. And maybe also there's this Mom Moments graph. Maybe we can put it on the website, because there's a QR code that you can scan that will take you directly to Quicket, where you can buy the ticket and get the rest of the information.
I was just going to say that there is a QR code.
Yes.
So, and I'm not going to try and read out all the dots and blobs and bobs, but we'll put it, so we'll try and get it onto our Facebook page, Wild Coast Radio. And then, if anybody wants to join in, they can go ahead. And Annette, your contact details, if somebody wants to find out more about nutrition and your services as a nutritionist.
It's 084-609-3989, or they can find me on Instagram at @unetsi. And I'll also share this Mom Moments on my Instagram page. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people are more than welcome to contact me as well.
Great. Unetsi, thank you very much. Have a great rest of the week, and looking forward to chatting next week, Thursday. And I hope the event on Saturday goes very, very well.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Unetsi. Cheerio then. That's Annette with today's Nutrition Chat.